This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us in studio, Ben, is a man from this area. I would say local dude made good, and now they're building a whole franchise around him from the Indiana Pacers. He joined us last year. He's back this year. The great Miles Turner. How you doing, Miles?
Doing great, man. Back in the Big D. It's feels great to be back, man. I love it over here. You know it.
Yeah, and we had a really good time with you last year. You were very fun. And, you know, you guys go into the league now at such a young age. And so a lot of times guys go into the league and it's like they're, I don't know, withdrawn or maybe they're nervous. So have you always been outgoing? Because you weren't bothered one bit. I mean, we did it over the phone and it was like you were an old pro at that sort of thing. Did you grow up like being an extroverted kind of personality?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was very extroverted. I loved holding conversations. I loved just engaging those kind of things because my mom is a very savvy businesswoman and she kind of just had me present myself well like that from a young age. Just, you know, looking people in the eyes, shaking hands, holding doors open for ladies, just little stuff like that. So, you know, she's kind of the one who turned me on to all that, and it's worked out.
We'll talk about why you're making an appearance. We'll talk about your basketball camp and all, but there's obviously huge news with your team because you guys had one of the, I think, arguably one of the 12 best players in the NBA leave your team. There was a trade, Paul George. You guys got some younger guys, but now for all intents and purposes, this is kind of your team. I mean, the Pacers are building around you as you go into your third year. So are you nervous? Do you feel the pressure? Do you even realize that you are now the building block for an entire NBA franchise?
You know, just being back home in Dallas, hasn't really hit me yet. You know, I feel like when I go back there, it might a little bit, but and I'm groomed for this. This is what I've been working for my entire life. And just to even be in this predicament, and you know, I'm now the longest tenured Pacer, and that feels
God,
weird.
Crazy.
It sounds weird, right? And it's just I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to the ups and the downs of everything. You know, be able to get this experience this young in my career. It's only going to help me, you know, when I move into my prime or moving into my veteran years. So this is an incredible opportunity, and I'm not going to let it slip.
Man, that's a great answer. I want to take a step back and move to Paul George. Were you surprised by the trade, or were you surprised that he ended up on the Thunder?
I could say I was surprised by where he moved. I mean, I knew we had planned on trading him just because of, you know, he set his intentions that he didn't want to be there as much anymore, and he wanted to go to L.A. So, you know, you hear teams like the Celtics, the Cavaliers, this team, that team, but, you know, Thunder just snuck in there, and that was a very a dark horse team in there.
I'm just curious as to if as that's happening, if a player is insulted by that, and like, dude, you want to play with us? Or you're just like, man, I get it, and you look around, all these super teams build, and you're like, okay, he's going to go play with Westbrook. I mean, how do you look at that?
I totally get it, man. PG's put in 7-8 years in Indianapolis, and he's gotten them to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's taken them, you know, to new heights, kind of built up that organization. You know, it was he just did everything that I feel like the organization asked of him. He worked very hard, and he was a great leader and a great mentor for me. So I'm not mad or salty about anything whatsoever. He has to do what's best for him. You know, he's still in his prime. You know, he still has a lot more years to go. And if he wants to move on to endeavors, you can't, you know, spite him or fault him for any of that.
I imagine you'll be in some pick and roll action with Victor. How well do you know him? I mean, you've obviously played against him a couple times, but how well do you know him going into this season?
Yeah, I played against him a couple times. I actually played with him at the USA Select camp last summer. So you know, I got a little bit of a taste of like what it's like to play with him. He's a heady guard, very aggressive. You know, we obviously saw him this year. It was he was obviously the understudy to Russell Westbrook this year, so we didn't get to fully see him or his talents on display, but you know, I think he's going to come in and make a huge impact. I mean, I've just talked to him for the first time today, you know, just kind of starting to build that relationship a little bit. And I'm excited to see what he can do. He's an exciting guard. He went to IU. So, you know, the fans are going to love him. And it's, you know, it's going to be fun.
Miles Turner on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So you had a fantastic season, obviously. But in particular, you had a great game against the Mavs early on. I think you could put almost 30 points up on the Mavs. So going into that game, are you thinking this is in front of my hometown and I'm going to give a little extra, or it just worked out that way?
Everything, the plan is just aligned that night. You know, it was the first game of the season. You know, I was playing my hometown team, had my family in town. Everything just worked out the right way. It was a very exciting game, obviously. It was very exhilarating. I was amped up for it. You know, once I started playing, that first shot went down. I just had a good feeling. I just knew I was going to go off that night. And, you know, went to overtime and hit that big three. Mm-hmm. Just like everything just happened the right way that night.
I felt like you probably hit that clutch three because you were on our show like a couple months before that. I felt like actually as you were lining up the shot, you're like, this is for Ben and Skin. I feel like it was a real jump off for you. How has your game progressed from year one to year two to what you're looking to do this year?
Well, year one to year two, I feel like is the biggest jump you make in the NBA. You know, when you go from college to the league, you just learn so much. Everything's thrown at you. Everything's moving 100 miles per hour. When you make the jump from year one to year two, things are still moving pretty fast. I say about 75 miles per hour. You know, you just kind of, you learn a lot quicker on the fly, and especially the situation I was, you know, forced into. I started off, 81 of the 82 games, that I played, and you just pick up things a lot more as you go. So the jump was, it was great. I mean, being able to play in the playoffs my first year, I think that's where all the experience came from. It's just a different level of basketball. You play at the highest level of basketball so young in your career. So the jump was great.
Do you think super teams are good for the league or bad for the league?
Tough question. So I'm a winner, man. I love to win. You know, I appreciate the competitive side of basketball, but if you're going to build a super team, it's going to suck if you're not on that team, clearly. But I respect what these guys are doing. I respect what KD did, man. He had a chance to, do great things in Oklahoma City, but he saw a chance to do even bigger things, even greater things with Golden State, and that he did. You know, a lot of guys kind of, down him for what he did or just look down upon him, but this man literally held his own. You know, he played incredible defense, and it's not like he just went there as a role player. He was one of their best players and got his ring, so... And I respect the super team approach, but it definitely sucks playing against it.
All right, I'm going to ask you a terribly unfair question. It's going to be hard to answer.
All right.
But you're very savvy. So if it comes down to this crossroads, and you got a chance to take less money and play for a better team or play on a lesser team and make more money, what do you choose?
Put me on the spot a little bit.
I warned you, though. I warned you.
Can this be his third contract, so he's off his rookie contract?
Yes. We'll say it's your third contract.
Well, if it's my third contract, I feel like it depends on what I've accomplished in my career. You know, if I've gotten my ring, and I've gotten, the things that my sights set out to do, then, yeah, I might take a little bit of less money, more let guys coming in the league make their impact, the rookies, the second, third-year guys come in and have their turn. So, yeah, I would take a little bit less money just to – some of that role. But, if I haven't accomplished everything that I wanted to seek out to do, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that ring, whatever it takes to, make this all-star team, whatever it takes to be first team All-NBA. My sights are set high. So I feel like it just depends on where I'm at in my career at that stage.
And there's a business angle there, too, because you were talking about your mother being a savvy businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one school of thought where it's like, well, get as much money as you can while you can get it.
Right.
But then there's the marketing component of I'm a champ. Mm-hmm. And what other opportunities, those sorts of things, avenues that those could open up to you?
Well, you have to look at it this way. Even if you take less money and you've already accomplished everything you want to do away from the business side of it, there's a business outside of basketball as well when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And, guys want to be surrounded by winners. If you're a winner and you go over to these other companies or play after basketball, then you're setting yourself up for even more marketing opportunities, even more business opportunities. So if you get everything you can and accomplish everything you can while you're playing, you're just setting yourself up for, even greater things in the future.
All right. When you guys came in the studio, we were talking about Dirk a little bit. And I just love to get it through your eyes as one of the best young players in the NBA. How do you see Dirk Nowitzki?
I respect the hell out of Dirk Nowitzki. I grew up watching him, man. Just would watch him and then immediately after the game, go on the driveway and mimic the fadeaways, mimic everything he did. And the fact that he was able to bring a ring and a championship to this city, it was unreal. You grow up, you watch him just, take down this, the super team, just the big three of, Wade, Bosh, LeBron. And it was incredible to see how, he just did it. And they obviously had a team around him, but he willed that team. I remember specifically, I think it was game six. I don't remember. He just caught the ball at the elbow, inbound, went right away, hit that left-handed mm-hmm. shot, and it was in Miami. God, that was a huge win. Mm-hmm. You just remember little stuff like that from your childhood that you just want to, bring into your career. So, I respect the hell out of Dirk Nowitzki.
Summer of 2011, were you 14 or 15? How old were you when that was going down?
It's 2017 right now.
Yeah.
I'm 21 right now, so I was 16.
Wow. Yeah. God, those were such great memories.
Yeah.
I mean, such a great time, I think, for our whole city. So Dirk redefined the power forward position, but one thing I'm curious about with young players like yourself, I'm an old man, so like I grew up with power forwards do this and centers do this. Mm-hmm. Are you a power forward? Are you a center, or does it matter?
I'm a basketball player, man. Right. That's a positionless basketball. That's the, you know, where the league is headed right now. And my dad, you know, from a young age, made me work on everything, my handles, my passing, my shooting ability, to put up a bunch of shots every day. So, you know, so when I got to this point, I'd be able to do a little bit of everything. And then Kevin Durant, obviously, you know, revolutionized the game at that, being 6'11", be able to do all the things that he did. So, you know, I play positionless basketball. I don't have a position.
Okay. When you're on the court standing, you're standing as tall as you can, and Kevin Durant's right there. Are you guys the same height, or are you significantly taller?
I wouldn't say significantly taller, because his length is the common misconception. That's why he looks a lot taller than what he is on TV. But I'd probably say I'm taller than him, but mm-hmm. People say he's a 7-footer. He's not a 7-footer. Like, this is,
he's got 7-footer's arms or something.
Yeah, he's very, you know, he's got a lot of length on him, but he's probably like 6'9", 6'10". 6'9" is a little disrespectful. I'll say 6'10".
All right. Are you 7 or 6'11"?
If you want to get really, really meticulous, I'm 6'11 and 3/4 with my shoes. So I'm just like, I just missed a little ceiling right there.
Very close. And it's interesting what you said about your dad, because I know for tall players coming up, they're going to say, oh, you're a post. You're the tallest mm-hmm. kid on the team. You're a post.
Exactly.
But that doesn't help you as you keep going up to the next level and the next level and the next mm-hmm. level. Like for us, a 6'4 guy was like the tallest guy. So he's a center. He goes to the next level. He's a 2-guard.
Right.
So your dad had you working on basic fundamentals the whole time?
Well, I'll tell you exactly when it happened. I was playing in the YMCA, and in the YMCA league, I guess we're in the Mid-Cities area, you have to wear these wristbands. And you have to guard whoever's using these wristbands. So the tallest player, obviously, was me. I was very dominant. The coach on the other team got smart. He would have his player just stand at half court. So I would have to stand at half court with him. I couldn't guard and go block shots and stuff like that. And from that point on, he was like, nah, we're working on everything. You're not just going to be the tallest kid out there just standing next to this kid out there. You know, we're going to work on everything. And obviously at the time, I couldn't appreciate that or understand that. But looking back on it now, it just sucked having to do all the drills with the guards and, you know, constantly getting ripped, constantly, you know, the slowest guy out there. But now it's just like you do a little bit of everything. You're thankful for it, you know.
It's so interesting as we're talking to Miles Turner here, because usually younger guards don't know how to run a pick and roll. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have a lot of pick and roll stuff when you're younger. And when you have a pick and roll, you don't want postmen down in there clogging it up. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to a higher level and you got guys that can run pick and roll, then you want the space in there. And right. So it's a weird time to be a big guy. And if you can't space out and hit shots, it's like guys write you off pretty quick, because otherwise you're just clogging the lane up.
It's tough. You know, guys are accustomed to that 4-out, one in basketball. When you have a dominant post player down there, it's just, you know, role player at the position is starting to be kind of dead. You have to be able to either stretch the floor or be a dominant post player. Mm-hmm. If you have the 4-out, 1-in approach, you surround yourself with shooters like Orlando did with Dwight Howard back in the day.
Right.
You had him down here, he was dominating. You had to pick your poison. Now, you know, you got guys, you just put 5 guards out there and you force the team to guard you. You know, it makes them have to play defense, but at the same time, you know, these guys are slower, you know, not as effective. So it's definitely different and an interesting and exciting time for basketball.
Mm-hmm. I can't even believe you're 21. I don't even know how that's
You're pretty
possible.
Polished, dude.
Yeah, you're pretty polished. And, you know, when we're old men now, but when we were younger and we'd interview a guy like you, if there was such a thing, I'd be like, wow, I want to be friends with that guy. Now I'm thinking, I want to be friends with his parents. So you had some great parents, man. Well, tell us about your folks. Like, obviously, they were fantastic.
Definitely so, man. I guess I'll start with my mom. You know, my mom, she's worked since she was 13 years old, man. She's been pretty much on her own since she was 13. You know, she was born in New London, Connecticut, integrated to Fort Wayne, Indiana, ironically, for a little while. But she's been here since she was, like, you know, 12, 13 years old. So she's a... youngest of 10 kids, so, you know, she kind of has an approach. I mean, she wasn't necessarily forgotten about, but, you know, she was the youngest, not too many. Everybody was grown doing their own thing, so she kind of had to come up by herself. So she established that worker's mentality at such a young age, and that's kind of where, I guess, I get it from, just her competitive nature. And like, she's more competitive than me, and it's crazy for me to admit that, but that's where I get, my strike from, you know. And, like, there is nothing that – I can do that she doesn't think she can do. If I can go out and hit a half court shot, she thinks she can hit 3 in a row. You know, that's just how she is, how she's wired. And, you know, growing and being, you know, in the business world, you're obviously, and being a female at that, you're obviously going to be disadvantaged. So she had to work 10 times harder than the men there. Even if she knew she was better or more talented at what she was doing, she was a manager of housekeeping at a few hotels, and she was had like one of the highest inspection ratings here in the southern area. So she was really good at what she did,
mm-hmm.
but you would overlook her because she's a woman. So she had to work 10 times harder. She would do anything for the people, you know, that would help her get up there. And like, that's where I get my competitive nature from, and just my mentality of everything. And then my dad, he, you know, he's born in New York, he was Queens, and that's kind of where the basketball comes from. And it's funny, man, he went to private school up there. You know, he didn't really go to the, you know, the public schools and all that. So that's kind of where I get, like, I guess my, like, I education standpoint from. He was really big on that, you know. So he hooped, and but he broke his femur when he was really young. So he never really had the opportunity to take his basketball to the next level. He wasn't blessed with that, you know, with the you know, he didn't recover in time enough for everything. So he got to play his senior year of high school. He played pretty good, but just couldn't get to that next level. So he's, you know, he's living vicariously through me. You know, he saw special talents at such a young age. So he really made me work hard and work for it, man. I remember at one time I was playing for four teams at one time, man. It was crazy.
How old?
This is probably like 8th, 9th, 10th grade. You know, I was just playing for all these teams, going to this practice, right after school, we're going to this practice. I'm going to pull you out of school early. We're going to go to this practice. But, you know, man, my parents are everything to me, man. They just, you know, they're really the reason I'm here. I wanted to quit basketball at one point. I didn't want to do it anymore. It's just, but they pushed me through everything. And it's crazy looking back on it.
I want to get to your basketball camp, but before we do it, I want to know what it was like for you to leave school early, knowing what your parents are like, valuing an education. How did that conversation go? How did you guys decide to do that?
Well, it's funny enough, I wanted to stay.
Uh-huh.
I love Austin. Austin, Texas is like my favorite city, like in the U.S. I obviously traveled everywhere, you know, just playing. I love Austin, Texas. Anytime I get back, I can get back. I didn't want to leave the city. I didn't want to leave my teammates. We were building towards something great. You know, I didn't even want to leave the classes. The classes were so interesting and intriguing, man. I met some incredible professors there. I made some good connections there as well. But my parents was like, Miles, you know, you got to go, man. Like, your name's hot right now. You know, you have a chance to, you know, be a hot commodity in this draft class. You just got to go out here and work 10 times harder than what you've been working for. So I didn't want to leave, man. I was a kid in the candy shop down there. I loved it. It's just the whole college experience. You just, you know, admittedly being away from your parents for a little while, you know, you just love it. It's just different. But, you know, I knew, you know, business was business, and I knew what I had to do. So, you know, I could have been down there distracted, not doing what I needed to do. But my parents were like, all right, you know, it's time. Let's go.
Well, let's tell everybody about the basketball camp, when it's going on, how they can get signed up, some of those kinds of things.
Right. So, you know, this is my second annual, you know, Miles Turner Back to School Camp. And I specifically, you know, lined it up, you know, right when kids are going back to school. So you can kind of take what you learn right into the school year. You know, you kind of come out here and have a great experience, man. I'm one of the kids as well. I am a little kid when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm in every drill. I'm hyped up. You know, we had over 250 kids last year. I was playing defense. I was locking it up. I was dunking on everybody, throwing shots. Like, it's just what I love to do, man. I love just giving back to, you know, to where I came from. You know, it's just Texas is an incredible football state, you know. But kids can make it out of here for basketball, too, and I want them to be able to understand that. And, you know, it's August 18th and the 19th. You can sign up at milesturnercamps.com. And it's going to be a great experience, man. I mean, it's words can only say so much, but you have to be there to experience it. It was incredible last year. I had kids from all over the Metroplex come through, but I want to make sure I, you know, base it out of the HEB area because that's where I'm from. That's where my heart is. And, you know, I'm going to put my heart and soul in everything I do. So it's going to be a fun experience. You know, please make sure if you really want to get better, you know, in a positive environment, it's the place to be.
All right, there's two sessions, August 18th and 19th. We will tweet out a link to it. Ben and I both will, so you can click on that and get signed up. Nice of you to come in person. We'd like to make this an annual thing, man. Hey. We'd like to have Miles Turner in studio once a summer, and heck, we'll even talk to you before the Pacers game this year.
Hey, let's make it happen, man. I gotta show some love to my boys down here. So
dude,
I'm down for it.
Local dude making it big on the big stage. It is Miles Turner. Thanks for coming by, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.